This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you, January 22nd, 2016. Or if you're catching the replay of the Bloomington Review on Saturday the 23rd, glad you're waking up with us. You're going to need that cup of coffee because it is a little bit chilly outside still, and there's rain in the forecast and all of that, and we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. Jim Inman here with you, flying solo with, I'm just going to be point-blank honest here, a screw-up on my part, if you will. Due to scheduling conflicts and things, this week's show was actually recorded on Wednesday evening. Myself, the educator, Mr. Piller, and the wonderfully talented Bloomington lady, Julie Warren, we were all in the WGCL studios Wednesday evening and recorded a pretty nice show talking about some fun events coming up over the area over the next few weeks going into spring break time. And who doesn't want to think spring break right now with this crazy weather that we're having and the snow and ice and everything? So, you know, I did my normal thing, and I have one of those handy-dandy little thumb drives that I store the shows on each week and do all the things that I need to do with that. And between Wednesday night and Thursday, when I intended to come back into the studio and plug in the show because of scheduling conflicts this week and couldn't be live, the thumb drive disappeared. And I've had... I'll just be honest, a borderline panic attack trying to find the stupid thing in my house. It was in my hands when I left the studio, and one of the two that I always carry with me, and they're identical, it was in my jeans pocket. So I checked my coat that I wore, I've checked my Jeep, I have checked the streets of, I've checked 7th Street, I should say, where I had parked on Wednesday night. I have walked the route back and forth, cannot find it. My dogs don't eat electrical stuff, so I'm not too convinced that they might have done anything with it. So what you're going to get tonight is pretty much the same show and the same information and everything, but I apologize in advance to Mr. Piller and Julie Warren for not having them on this week like we originally planned. They know that I have hunted for this thing. I thought maybe Mr. Piller might have picked it up and didn't work out, and I'm just going to make it right and suck it up and deal this week. And that's how we do it when you got to do it. So now that you've heard all of that story, it's a good show tonight because Julie Warren gave me all kinds of fun stuff that's going on in Bloomington and Monroe County coming up. So we're going to talk about that later on. Plenty of sports action as well. Lots on the local news side of things. So just a variety of stuff to talk about with you over the next hour or so. If you're catching us Friday night, of course, we've got high school boys basketball coming up at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk with Joe Smith and Martinsville. The Artesians are down in Bloomington at Bloomington High School South tonight. Typical tip is at 7:30 p.m., so make sure that you check that out right after the Friday night show. If you're catching it Saturday morning, Your Money with David Hayes will come up at 9 o'clock, and his guest this week is estate planning attorney Tom Bunger. So how many of you had snow days on Wednesday this week? Now that I work from home, snow days really don't apply so much, but I did have the opportunity to pull start my handy-dandy snowblower. And I've got one of the old-school Craftsman, weighs about 150 pounds, chains on the tires. I mean, it's the legitimate thing. And even though that snow was very light and fluffy, it still is kind of cool to go out and take care of your driveway in about 7 seconds. That's not quite true, but close enough. With the Jeep and the four-wheel drive, I don't really need to do it so much, but when there was this concern of the major snowstorm that's going to be hitting the East Coast coming through, that somebody was waving to me in the studio. With the snowstorm coming through, I wanted to make sure the driveway was clean. So that way, if the ice and snow built up and it wasn't clean, I don't have to worry about anything. It's already taken care of. It's already done. So anyway, for tonight, we'll talk the forecast here in just a few minutes. But as I mentioned, we would have had Julia Warren, and I apologize for not having Julia Warren for our listeners because she's one of our favorites. It was an entertaining pre-recorded segment, I promise you, but I will try and keep it lively as well. Lots of fun stuff in the news and sports scene as well. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Make sure that you check us out over there. Like us, follow us, tweet us, all of that good stuff. Had a lot of feedback from our interview with Derek Ritchie last week on Bloomington fading on Facebook and the history of Bloomington and whatnot. And make sure that you watch also. I put put it up this weekend. Michael Waterford, who was on our first guest of January, he's now doing his trek across the Great Basin out between Salt Lake City and Reno, Nevada. And the weather's holding up as good as it can right now. So I'll put up his blog link as well in the show that we had him on a couple weeks back, because it's really interesting to see his travels and what he's going through. And of course, you can stream us live, WGCLradio.com as well. We're going to take a break, come back with your forecast. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman with you here. Your forecast for the weekend is not looking too shabby, but it's definitely not light wrap weather, as Mr. Pillar calls it. It is going to be cold. Friday night tonight, 30% chance of snow before 1 a.m., low around 21. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 31. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low around 14. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 33. There's a chance of rain and snow early next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But you can keep up to date in all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and, of course, WGCLRadio.com. The emergency dispatch system is getting an upgrade here in Monroe County. And according to the Herald Times, how first responders are dispatched to an emergency may soon change when the upgrades to the central emergency dispatch system are integrated. The community or the county commissioners plan to pay for toner functions for local fire departments, but it's up to the departments to cover annual maintenance fees. I'm not talking ink when I say toner. We're actually talking the sounds, so to speak. Jeff Schimmer is the communications director for the Bloomington and Monroe County 911 Dispatch Center. He said it will cost about $63,000 to install the upgrades, and annual maintenance will be about $7,200. The city fire department offered to cover the maintenance fees, although other departments expressed interest in contributing as well. The toner function allows the dispatch center to use separate tones for individual fire stations in an emergency, Schimmer said. So right now what happens is that when a tone goes out, it goes to every fire station, even if they do not need to respond. The toner, Schimmer said, would allow them to only hear the tones and or radio traffic meant for their respective station. This system allows or also eliminates some of the steps a dispatcher goes through in order to tone out a fire department. The functionality being offered was part of the previous computer-aided dispatch system, but was lost following a lightning strike before the switch to the new system, and that cost about $1.2 million. Commissioners plan to discuss the contract at their next meeting tonight, Friday night. Monroe County Auditor Steve Salter is not going to run for re-election in 2016. On Tuesday this week, Salter said he decided not to run in order to have more time to care for his wife, who is in poor health. Salter was elected to office in 2012, and prior to that, he had served as the first financial officer in the auditor's office since 2009, and he also had 23 years of experience as a field examiner for the State Board of Accounts. Herald Times reported on Wednesday this week that in November, a special prosecutor was appointed to investigate what county officials said appeared to be unauthorized purchases on a county credit card under Salter's control. That following an inquiry by the Sheriff's Department into use of the card, the special prosecutor has not issued an opinion in the matter, and at least one Democratic candidate, Chief Deputy Auditor Therese Chambers, has announced intention to seek the office in the May primary. Kudos go out to a couple of our area high schools. They report the highest graduation rates in 5 years, according to the Herald Times. Monroe County Public Schools had the highest graduation rates in 2015, and both MCCSC and Richland Bean Blossom are graduating seniors at higher rates than the state average. All of this comes from the Indiana Department of Education. Officials at both school systems said they're excited about the high numbers of students who are finishing school. During the 2014-15 school year, 95% of seniors at MCCSC received diplomas, and 94% received them at Richland Bean Blossom. That was about the highest rate, according to Jan Bergeson, who's the director of secondary education at Monroe County Schools. They finally broke the 95% mark, she told the Herald Times. In 2014, the percentage rate for MCC was 93.4%. Good numbers all the way around. RBB took a big jump, especially. Their number jumped from 90.4 to 93.8 in 2015. Dirk Ackerman is the principal out there and a past guest on the show, and said that all high schools are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to get students through school in a very difficult time in their life in a lot of cases. And that is, unfortunately, not so uncommon anymore. There was a lot of discussion on social media last week regarding the school closings and the frustration people had with the delayed announcements and things like that. And the problem with it is, on both sides, is not only the child care and families making accounts for having to take care of their kids, but you also have situations where sometimes the school system is the primary source of food for some of these little ones as well. So not only is it a consideration for their safety getting to and from school, but also that the kids get a hot meal and some basic necessities as well. Kudos go out to the IU cheerleaders. They were named the best in the nation after months of preparation. The Crimson Cheerleaders on Sunday took home the program's fourth national title in 5 years. They competed in the Division 1A class at the College Cheerleading and Dance Team National Championships in Orlando, Florida, competing against University of Alabama, Rutgers, San Diego, Western Kentucky, and universities across the United States. After winning three championships in a row, IU placed second in 2015 behind the University of Alabama, so it was nice to get that trophy coming back right here to Bloomington. And I can tell you with complete certainty that our own good friend Chuck Crabb, who's on every Friday morning here on Glass in the Morning, is a huge advocate of the IU cheerleading program and all that it brings, not just to the athletics, but to the community as well. And so I know that his support is greatly appreciated, and he's part of that trophy as well. And finally, I'm going to go reach back into the archive, so to speak, if you will. Some of the people my age won't know this name. I do, because of I've heard his name before throughout the years. Uncle Bob Hardy, Robert Eugene Hardy, passed away in his home in Arizona earlier this month. He was 89 years old. He was born here in Bloomington, Monroe County, back in October 1926, and was a 1944 graduate of Bloomington High School. But his main claim to fame, if you will, is that when he was on television in Indiana, he was the honcho of the Old Western Ledger. And at a reunion in 1954, more than 35,000 people attended that reunion, that gathering. You might recognize Happy Valley Folks and the Hayloft Frolic. Those were television shows that appeared here in Indiana. He traveled all over the country for more than 50 years, traveled internationally, performed on the Grand Ole Opry stage as well. And I don't really have much connection to the guy, but again, if you are an older Bloomington resident, you'll definitely remember the name Uncle Bob Hardy, who passed away at 89 earlier this month. We're going to take a break. We'll get into some of the fun stuff from Julie Warren, the Director of Tourism at Visit Bloomington, that things that are going to be going on between now and spring breakish time, middle of March or so. So stay with me. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you on your Friday night. And of course, if you're catching us for the live show, don't forget that at the top of the hour, Joe Smith will have high school boys basketball, the Martinsville Artesians coming down to Bloomington High School South. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock, and then tip off at 7:30 for that game. So as I mentioned early on in the program, I screwed up, and Julie Warren, Mr. David Pillar, and myself pre-recorded our discussion for tonight, and I've lost the information. And so, Julie and David, I'm sure that you're laughing at my expense, and that's okay. But Julia was kind enough to re-forward me the topics that she talked about. And so there's some fun things coming up around Bloomington, Monroe County we're going to share with you over the next little bit, and make sure that you check all this stuff out. Of course, visitbloomington.com is the best way to find all of this information. There's all kinds of stuff there, and I'll preface it by saying anybody can put any kind of information on the Visit Bloomington website. As Julie would tell you, the focus is not so much on the local normal events, so to speak, but the things that would bring people in from out of the county, out of the state, out of the region. So consider that visitbloomington.com. If you've got something coming up that you think would benefit people and would attract a crowd, so to speak, in the area, then reach out to them, and there's a contact us, and very simple to do all of that good stuff. Of course, with athletics in the area, no surprise there. We've got IU men's basketball going on and women's basketball as well. Lady Hoosiers play next week on the 27th at Assembly Hall. Rutgers comes to town for that game, 7 o'clock tip for that. The Bloomington Pride Festival, the film festival, it takes place at the Buskirk Chumley Theater next weekend, January 28th through the 30th. And there's kind of a pre-show, if you will, on Thursday night beginning at 7 o'clock. And then there are films throughout the day, Friday and Saturday as well. Some of these are a little bit more adult-oriented, and I don't mean that in a sexual way. I mean, it's not for little kids, but there are some as well that you can check out that you are a little bit more family-friendly. You can go to the Buskirk Chumley website and check that out and see all the different pieces there. You can get passes and different things for the Bloomington Pride Film Festival and give them a call at the Buskirk at 323-3020 as well. The Bloomington Playwrights Project, that is a great place in our community to get original theater, if you will. They are doing a production called Toast. This starts on January 29th, runs through mid-February, February 13th, and it's a collaborative musical between the Bloomington Playwrights Project and Indiana University. It has a theme with connecting to New York, some nightclubs, some music and different things, and again, a fun experience. If you're out for an evening, you might want to check this out. Toast, Bloomington Playwrights Project, and that's going on starting January 29th through the middle of February. We have some art as well, as Julia would call it. Some Mozart at the Musical Arts Center, February 5th and 6th, and then the 12th and 13th. 7:30 p.m. for those show. It's Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and kind of a play, musical, different things like that. It's open to the public as well as IU students, different discounted rates for that. And then Shakespeare's Macbeth will be going on in February at the Wells Metz Theater on the IU campus as well. And you can check all of this out again. Visit Bloomington.com. Now, I am a Jack Nicholson fan, seen a lot of his films. One of the things I've never seen, though, and I hate to admit it, we all have that one film that we've never seen that everybody else in the world has. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Well, if you've never seen the film, you can go get an original interpretation at the Ivy Tech John Waldron Arts Center, February 12th through the 28th. There's different times that this is going to be going on, but it is a production rather than the film with Jack Nicholson. Local actors, local everything there, and this is part of, again, the John Waldron Arts Center, so you can check that out as well. The Eagle Watch. And no, we're not going to talk about Glenn Frey. We can save that for later on the show. But there's an Eagle Watch weekend coming up at the Four Winds next weekend, January 29th through the 31st. It is family friendly, but as Julie mentioned to us a couple days back, they actually bring out raw meat for these animals, these eagles, to be attracted to and come to and feed on. So if your kids are a little bit squeamish about that, or even if you're an adult and that kind of is a little bit squeamish to you as well, may not be your thing, but it's only $10 for adults, $4 for kids 12 and under. This all takes place at the Four Winds, and there are lectures and presentations and eagle watching and different things down in the wilderness around the Four Winds. They're going to be taking outings to different parts around the lake, and you can see bald eagles in their natural environment. So again, Eagle Watch weekend, January 29th through the 31st. Of course, as we get into February, the even months of February are also First Friday Gallery Walks. So that's going to be taking place on February 5th, the first Friday of February. It starts at 5 o'clock. If you've never been to one of these, it's not a you have to get dressed up and set appointments or anything like that to where you're going to go. It's a shopping, eating experience. There's all kinds of fun places around downtown. There's great signage around the square and in the area that if you are looking for a venue to check out, looking for some art, looking for just a fun night out, then February 5th, 5 p.m. Let's cross our fingers for good weather for that. February is also the month of chocolate. It used to be there was a week of chocolate, but now there is the month of chocolate taking place in Bloomington. There is a chocolate prom. There are chocolate contests. There are cooking. There's all different kinds of things as well. These are going to be taking place between February 5th and 21st, various times, various locations. Again, visit Bloomington.com. We'll have all of your information about the month of chocolate, what you need to look for, things like that. I can tell you that the chocolate prom does not mean you have to wear chocolate, kind of like the duct tape prom where your tuxedo or dress needs to be made of that fancy stuff. There's all kinds of things that tie in with this, so make sure that you check out the Week of Chocolate. IU Auditorium has a couple fun events in February as well. Stomp is coming to town February 9th and 10th, both shows at 7:30 there at the end of 7th Street on campus. You get your trash can lids, you get your brooms, you get your all kinds of toys and boxes and noisemakers and things like that, and you see a fantastic show. It's been years since I've seen Stomp, and just because it has been around for a long time doesn't mean that you've seen the same thing over and over. They are constantly redoing and updating and modifying that show. So February 9th and 10th, Stomp out at IU Auditorium. Then on February 13th, if you're looking for a pre-Valentine's Day experience, Pat McAfee, you know the name, the Indianapolis Colts, that Pat McAfee, he is doing the I-69 tour, and he is going to be at IU Auditorium February 13th, 7:30 p.m. for that show. I've never seen Pat McAfee on stage, but he has quite the following, and I think it might be a fantastic show to check out. So IU Auditorium for that detail. Speaking of comedy, this weekend at the Comedy Attic downtown, Tim Meadows, the ladies' man from mid-age Saturday Night Live from the 1990s, Tim Meadows is going to be back in Bloomington at the Comedy Attic this weekend, and I'm really hoping to go check him out. I don't know what he's like as a stand-up comedian, but I've loved the stuff that he has done over the years, and I think it could be a fun show. So check out the Comedy Attic and tell Dana and Jared Thompson hello if you see them this weekend. Also in February, on the 20th, is a local artist showcase. This is presented by Bloom Magazine and Ivy Tech. It's going to be taking place at the Convention Center on the 20th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's just a variety of pieces of art by local citizens and residents of Bloomington and Monroe County. So if you're into some eclecticness, some traditional pieces, a variety of things like that, put that on your calendar for February 20th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a breather. And when we come back, there's more things on the schedule that Julie provided to me, so we'll share some of that as well. Plenty of sports action to talk about also as we head toward Super Bowl 50 this February 7th as well. So we'll cover that in sports in just a few minutes. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you on the Bloomington Review. Thanks so much for tuning in to WGCL Radio and catching up on what's going on around Bloomington and Monroe County here on the program. Next week on the show, hoping to have a Pat Wilson or a representative of the Bloomington High School North Habitat for Humanity Build. They have their big event coming up in February. Pat's been a guest on the show the last couple of years, and I know it's a busy time for her as this event comes up. So if she's not available, we'll definitely have a representative on to talk about that and all of that good stuff next week on the program. Of course, you can always go to WGCLradio.com, click on the local shows link, and then find the Bloomington Review, and you can catch up on this show this week. You can catch up on the past shows as well. As I mentioned earlier in the program, we're going to put some things up on our Facebook page about Michael Waterford and his expedition across the Great Basin in Salt Lake City to Reno, Nevada. So you can catch all of that at facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview and also WGCLradio.com. Julie Warren sent us a great list of some things going on around Bloomington and Monroe County, and I've just been sharing some of those things with you since earlier this week had a little bit of a technical glitch and lost the program that we pre-recorded, so you're getting the live version here this week. Wonder Lab After Dark is going to be taking place on February 26th, 6 to 9 p.m. Now, this is an adults-only night, and Wonder Lab is a great experience, obviously, but primarily for kids, obviously, but this is going to be an opportunity for adults. It's one of the first times Wonderland has done an adults' night there. They're going to have an Oliver Winery grapevine climber, as well as introducing a new exhibit, The Amazing Brain. The IU Neuroscience Club is going to be on hand at Wonderland that evening. They're going to take the guest around and show them some nerdy science stuff as well, and then also enjoy some beverages and some snacks and some different things as well. If you're a member of Wonderlab, it's a $10 admission fee, $13 to the general public as well. But I really think it's a fun opportunity to check out without the little kids. And I say that kindly, because normally when you've got the little ones running around, they want to go see the snakes, they want to climb the net, they want to go play in the bubbles, they want to see the dinosaur, they want to do all the things that kids want to do. And that's great, but sometimes as an adult, you want to kind of experience these things as well. Well, this will be your chance to do that. Wonderlab After Dark, February 26th, 6 to 9 p.m. It is the 25th annual Indiana Heritage Quilt Show taking place in early March at the Convention Center. March 3rd through the 5th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, or excuse me, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. $10 per day. You can go all 3 days by purchasing a $20 ticket as well. Kids 7 to 12 get a discounted rate, and under 7 go in free. The quilt show, I have family who love this event. The quilt show is some of your grandmother's or great-grandmother's types of quilts, the wedding ring stuff or the checkers or the things that you know that you see in country magazines or maybe on your grandparents' spare bed or something like that. However, there is also the art side with this as well. There are people who quilt one-of-a-kind, truly unique pieces where they make landscapes, and there are beams of sun coming up over the horizon. People do faces. People do all kinds of things as well. And when you're talking the thousands of cuts made to that fabric and stitching together and things like that, it really is an art experience as well. So don't be fooled by the name Heritage Quilt Show, because there is more to it than just the norm, if you will, on the quilt side of things. So again, March 3rd through the 5th for that. And all of this information, not only will you be able to find it at visitbloomington.com, but we'll have it on our Facebook page as well. In late March, and I know we're getting a little bit ahead, but this one is a big one, I think, and there's a lot of people enjoy the outdoors and things like that, and this is when you've got this cold weather, if you have the equipment to go out and enjoy it, so to speak, then it's not so bad. If you're the weekend warrior kind of thing and you just put on a heavy coat and long underwear, doesn't really always do so much. March 26th and 27th, the Banff Film Festival, the Mountain Film Festival, takes place at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. My friend Lisa goes to this every year. It is phenomenal. It is not just mountainscapes, if you will. It is the adventure type thing. It is film. There are films from all different walks of life, all different places, all different experiences, and truly a fun thing to enjoy. So put this on your calendars, if anything that we've talked about tonight. March 26th and 27th, the Buskirk Chumley Theater, the Banff Mountain Film Festival. That's a Saturday and Sunday for that. All kinds of great art and things there as well. And of course, as I mentioned, all of this can be found at visitbloomington.com. You can reach out to Julie Warren there. You can also hear her every Friday morning here on WGCL. She joins Mike Glascott for Glass in the Morning from 8 to 9 a.m. She highlights all of this stuff. She hears all the things that he talks about, and she keeps him in balance and all of that, and I say that with love. So make sure that you always tune in to WGCL and check out what Julie has to say on Friday mornings right after Chuck Crabb. And I want to mention one more quick thing before we head out to get into sports, is that I mentioned this last week. We have a film that is coming to Bloomington for production. There's a couple of IU gentlemen who have ties with, I think one is the producer and one is a director slash actor kind of thing. But Danny Glover is going to be coming into town, Lethal Weapon. It's going to be a cool experience. Julie told us earlier this week when we did the original recording of this show that usually the Visitor Center doesn't work so much on getting all of the details lined out and things like that, but they help with getting hotel accommodations taken care of, and if somebody's looking to scout some sites, they might be able to recommend some things and whatnot. But just watch for that over the coming weeks. I think they're supposed to be here in the next week for about 3 weeks or so. So you may see some camera crews around downtown, or they may pop up at a local eatery or something like that. Just be cool, have some Hoosier hospitality and whatnot, and enjoy the experience. Julie said that Bloomington is actually a fairly regular spot for independent films, that people seek out this area. There's a lot of different terrain and things, so they can get a variety of shots, if you will, based on where they're at here. So it's one of those little hidden secrets, if you will, about Bloomington and Monroe County that you never know when you might run into somebody famous in the area. We're going to take a break, come back with sports and more. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman with you here, and let's get you some sports action, if you will. Of course, this weekend it's the conference championships in the NFL. The top four teams, the top two in the AFC and the top two in the NFC are going to be competing this Sunday. Arizona Cardinals and Carolina Panthers are the second game. That kick is at 6:40 on Sunday. But the big one, and I think this one is big on multiple reasons, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock kick, the New England Patriots against the Denver Broncos. Obviously, there's a rivalry there. Obviously, there's a lot of love from the Indiana fans of the Colts because of Peyton Manning. Peyton has had some health struggles, as we all know, which was part of the reason why he is now playing for the Broncos. And it might very well be the last time that Peyton and Mr. Brady come face-to-face again. And obviously, there is the frustration with the Patriots that many people have in this area, and I'm not picking sides or anything. I'm simply stating a fact. We had Deflategate earlier this year. We had all kinds of things. But I think the bottom line is going to be that people are just hoping for a fun game. I think that most of us here will probably be rooting more for the orange than the blue. But we'll see what happens with that. And, of course, the winner of that game and the winner of the Cardinals-Panthers game go on to Super Bowl 50, taking place on Sunday, February 7th. The Pro Bowl will be the weekend in between. That's on Sunday the 31st. And all of this, of course, will be right here on WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. IU men's basketball, no surprise, this season they are just on fire right now. We're 16-3 overall, 6-0 in the Big Ten. We're up at the top in that. Of course, earlier this week, Yogi Ferrell, he set the assist record for the men's basketball team. And just, I mean, we're just on fire right now. And there was a lot of frustration and a lot of news and media about the team and some of the antics of some of the guys and things like that. We've had a couple injuries as well, James Blackman and so on. So I'm crossing my fingers that we are on the right trajectory here right now. This Saturday, tomorrow, the 23rd, 12 o'clock game here in Bloomington. Then the Hoosiers head up to Madison, Wisconsin on Tuesday for a 7 o'clock game there. And then they're back in Bloomington to take on Minnesota next weekend, next Saturday, the 30th, at about 2:15. The schedule is still, we're still getting into the meat and potatoes of the season as well. There's still teams ahead that we need to battle. And I think I read earlier this week that it's almost 22, 23 years since the Hoosiers hit a 7-0 streak in the Big Ten season. So we are due. We are ready. We are primed. I know Chuck Crabb talks about it on Friday mornings as well with Glass. And I'm really hopeful that we will continue to see some positive things with our Hoosiers and all of that. So again, IUHoosiers.com for your coverage on that. And tune in to Joe Smith on Monday morning as well, 7:45 and 8:45. He'll join Glass and give you an update on the Northwestern game this weekend. On the football side of things, Dan Freeney gave a major shot of offseason momentum early this week when he announced his plans to return to IU for his final year of eligibility coming up this fall. According to the Herald Times, the right guard was named a first-team All-American by ESPN after finishing his redshirt junior season with a team-best 102 knockdowns in just over 1,000 snaps. He also received All-American nods from CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated's website, and Associated Press. And IU confirmed his intention to return through a press release on Monday, said that Coach Wilson and Coach Greg Frey were extremely valuable during the process and Feeney thanks them for their assistance. So hopefully we will see some good stuff out of our Hoosiers as well. We finished 6-6 in the season. We made a bowl appearance as well that probably should have been ours, except for that kick that we've already talked about and has beaten the dead horse. But again, just some good things coming out of the Hoosier Arena right now on the men's side of things. On the local side, Saturday we've got Terre Haute South at North, and then South at Franklin Central, if I can read Mr. Pillar's handwriting, and then Edgewood is taking on Bedford North Lawrence there, and just lots of good action as well. We've got WIC playoffs coming up. There's just, you know, there's always good stuff on the local high school scene as well, and we've got a lot of coverage not only with the boys basketball season, but Joe Smith does a great job of sharing about what's going on the local scene when he talks with Glass Monday and Fridays, and also Joe Smith reports the Joe Smith Show, on Tuesday nights as well. So make sure that you tune in for all of that, and Mr. Pillar does a much better job at covering all of that than I do. Also on the local scene as well, Indiana University freshman swimmer Lily King was named the Big Ten Swimmer of the Week, according to the conference announcement Wednesday. The league honor is the third this season for King, who was named the Swimmer of the Week back in December and Big Ten Rookie of the Week on November 11th. This past week in Atlanta, King continued her dominance in the breaststroke events. She's from Evansville, Indiana, and she guided the Hoosiers to victories over Georgia Tech and Duke at the GT Quad Meet by winning both the 100 and 200-meter breaststroke. Great job there for IU Lady Swimming there to Lily King. I mentioned, or Mr. Pillar mentioned in our discussion earlier this week also, the Pacers are having a little bit of a rough time right now. And excuse me, I need to have Doug Hughes back in the studio to get his take on things. And I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything else, and I hate to be that guy, but I am. So we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll wrap up the show. Talk a little bit about the very sad music scene right now with the losses of so many wonderful musicians over the years. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here to wrap up the program. Thanks so much for dealing with me this week and for the technical glitch that cut out Mr. Pillar and the Bloomington lady, Julie Warren. Of course, you can catch Julie every Friday here on WGCL 8 to 9 a.m. with Glass, and she's got all the updates of what's going on around the area. But yeah, I've got to find the thumb drive that had all of the show that we recorded earlier this week, and yeah. Double your effort for twice the fun, or something along those lines. Your forecast for the weekend here in Bloomington: a 30% chance of snow tonight, Friday night, before 1 a.m., low around 21. On Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 31. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low around 14. And then on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 33. Potential for rain and snow mix early next week, at least on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Next week on the program, hopefully you get Mr. Pillar back, and trying to coordinate with Pat Wilson. She's an educator at Bloomington High School North, and she's also part of the Bloomington High School North Habitat for Humanity Build. She was on the show last year, and I believe even the year before. And so we're hoping to have Pat back on, if not her, representative from the high school, to talk about this wonderful program that engages all kinds of students from Bloomington High School North and gives them a sense of community and sense of charity and whatnot, and they are the ones who are hammering the nails into these homes for the less fortunate. So that should be on the program next week. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check out what's going on over there. We put some fun stuff and some local news there. And also, of course, WGCLRadio.com. You can live stream us there. You can catch up on past shows and just keep up with what's going on in the world right here with yours truly and Mr. Pillar and Julie Warren and all of our fun folks as well. As I mentioned, though, in the last segment, it's been a rough couple of weeks on the music scene. It started off at the end of 2015 when Natalie Cole's passing was announced. She had been a survivor of a kidney transplant. She had contracted hepatitis years ago and really hadn't been on the public scene much lately. I mean, celebrities always do Twitter and Facebook and things like that, but you know they're not really always carrying their phones around and posting all that stuff. They have people that do those kinds of things. Natalie Cole, of course, the daughter of the late Nat King Cole, who was a phenomenal musician and well-regarded back in the 1950s as well, 1940s, 1950s. Natalie Cole had a great start. She came out in the mid-1970s with This Will Be and just all kinds of stuff. She had some personal issues over the years, some drug habits and things like that, but really seemed to have her life on track. And of course, back in the early 1990s, I think it was 1991, when Unforgettable with Natalie Cole came out. And that was that high-tech experience where she actually duetted with her father on his big hit, Unforgettable. So Natalie Cole passes away the end of December. And then you get back-to-back, practically. David Bowie, on January 10th, he passed away after suffering from liver cancer. Of course, a phenomenal musician and an impact that I don't think everybody really appreciates. I'm not a huge David Bowie fan because I don't know a lot of his work, but when you hear a David Bowie song, you know that's him. He had a signature style and sound about him, and just a phenomenal career as well. Some acting as well. Do you ever see the movie Labyrinth back in the 1980s? Great stuff there. So we lost David Bowie. Then if you want to get into a little history in rock and roll, Dale Griffin, who was the drummer for the 70s rock band Mott the Hoople. The reason I know this is mainly because of history of rock and roll at Indiana University. And I remember Andy Hollenden, who was kind of the second in charge behind Glenn Gass with the history of rock and roll. I remember studying Mott the Hoople way back when. And so Dale Griffin passed away. And then, of course, the big one this week that really shocked a lot of people was Glenn Frey, founding member of the Eagles. And just a phenomenal musician, guitar player, all kinds of things. They were actually up, the Eagles were up for a Kennedy Center Honors in 2015, and they postponed it because of the health struggles that Glenn Frey was having. He sang lead on some of the, like, those songs that are part of the soundtrack of your life, so to speak. Take It Easy, Peaceful Easy Feeling, Tequila Sunrise, Heartache Tonight. You know, Linda Ronstadt was part of the Eagles and connection with them for a lot of time. Just a phenomenal experience to hear the Eagles live. I never got the chance to do it. I've known people that have. And he was only 67, like David Bowie was. He had been dealing with arthritis and some other complications as well, colitis and pneumonia and things. But you think about the music stylings, if you will, of these folks and what they have brought to the world, just in Natalie Cole, Glenn Frey and the Eagles, and David Bowie. That ripple effect of that is ongoing. And as we, the regular people who are out there listening, this is the music that we grew up with, or maybe it's the music our parents grew up with, but we absorbed it through all of those car rides to school and family vacations and things. It's going to start happening more and more. And that's the very unfortunate part, but we're also lucky to have the music that they shared to enjoy for many years to come. I know that everybody has their generational stuff, and I know that there are fans of Bieber and Britney Spears and all of that stuff. I'm to the point where I'm at the age, I don't know a lot of the newest musicians, but I appreciate what they're trying to do, I guess I should say. TTS, our sister station, 92.3, they bring out some phenomenal music as well. So bottom line, I'm just saying, take a moment if you can, put on some Eagles, put on some David Bowie, even some Mott the Hoople or some Nat King Cole, and enjoy it this weekend. It's going to be cold, but you're going to get some good memories with this. And to be the cheesy as we line it out, you're going to get a peaceful, easy feeling listening to some great music. We will be back next week. Thanks so much for being patient with me. I appreciate it. And stay warm, stay safe. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.